Good to see you tonight, to hear you sing those rousing hymns of praise for what the Savior has done. If you're here for the first time, as it was said earlier, we're certainly glad to see you, and we hope you can come back again. You know, this could be the happiest day of your life so far. I remember the day in my experience in September 1958. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as my Savior. And up until that time, it was the happiest day of my life. I must say I've had happier days since. The Bible says the path of the just, that is the true Christian, is as the shining light that groweth more and more unto the perfect day. And you know, there's nothing like being a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we turn, please, to Paul's letter to the Romans and chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That will suffice for a reading tonight. Trust the Lord will bless to us His precious word. I want to speak on this statement tonight. What I want to do is I want to start with one word, and I want to build the verse around that one word. And the one word I want to start with is the word condemnation. And then I want us to see no condemnation. And then I want us to see now no condemnation, and so on, down through the words that we read together. Condemnation. It's another word for judgment. Judgment. And I have titled this Judgment Impending. Judgment Impending. If we were to turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 18, there we would read, He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There we have guilt established. Guilt established. You don't have to wait until the last day to discover what God's verdict is on your life. God has already established exactly where you stand as an individual person in relation to Himself. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus, and by that I mean, if you are not depending, relying upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross for salvation, John 3 and verse 18 says that God has pronounced already that you are guilty. He that believeth not is condemned already. You know, I sometimes hear preachers say that if at last you find yourself in hell, it won't be because of your sin. They say it's because you never trusted Christ as your Savior. That's what they say. I find difficulty with that. You know, if you had a particular disease that was killing you, if you went along to the doctor and the doctor determined exactly what the disease was, but prescribed medicine that was guaranteed to cure you, and you purchased the medicine, but you never took it. When you died, what do you think he would put on the death certificate? Do you think he would write on the death certificate that you died because you never took the medicine? Of course, that would be perfectly true. But the point of the matter is, he would write on that, you died because of a particular disease. So it is in the Word of God. If you will not, by faith, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will surely perish. And by perish, we do not mean you will be annihilated. To perish is to be lost eternally. If you don't receive Christ, you will perish. But it will be because you're a sinner. And I would like to impress that on the hearts of every single one of us in this auditorium tonight. I remember many years ago being in a tent, and the preacher said that he didn't know the audience. And so he said, I'm going to preach tonight as though this was the first time you ever heard the gospel. And I believe that that's the way the gospel should be preached every time it's preached. And so I'm not going to leave out any necessity from the gospel. And if you don't know yet, dear friend, that you're a sinner, I trust that you'll discover tonight, on the basis of what God says in His Word, that you're a sinner. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not one single individual in this room tonight that can hold his or her head up. Every one of us has sinned against God. Oh, there may be some moral sinners here tonight. You know, before I took Christ as my Savior, I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know the way to heaven. But as far as I know, I swore 3 times in my life. And it was because I didn't know they were swear words. I never smoked. I never drank. I had never gone out with a girl in my life. And I was nearly 20 years of age when I got saved, and of all things, I was a soldier. I had never got up to any of those unseemly things. But I had to discover one thing before ever I could be saved, that I was a sinner. Have you discovered that tonight, dear friend? Tell me, is there someone here tonight and you don't think that you're a sinner? You know, there are lots of religious people that go to church that don't think they're sinners. I remember knocking on the door of 2 ladies, 2 old ladies, very religious ladies, and they wouldn't have it that they were sinners. You know what they were doing? They were calling God a liar. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're in a predicament tonight. You have the greatest of conceivable needs. And I'm not talking about a financial need. And I'm not talking about a physical need. You have a spiritual need tonight because you're a sinner. And as a sinner, you come under the condemnation of God. You're condemned. So in John chapter 3, verse 18, we learn that God has said, we're condemned already.
In other words, God has already pronounced the guilt. He's already said that you're a guilty sinner. You know, it's one thing to be a sinner, it's another thing to be pronounced guilty. But God has already passed the verdict. And God has said you're guilty. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances might be. You might have been brought up in a broken home, just like myself. You might have been brought up in an environment where you knew nothing but sin. But it doesn't alter one iota this fact that God has said, you're not only a sinner, you're a guilty sinner. And more than that, God says that you're ungodly. You're ungodly. If in John chapter 3 and verse 18 we discover that God has already pronounced the verdict, when we turn to the book of the Revelation and chapter 20, we discover that there God pronounces the sentence. Because in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 11, John the Apostle says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Two sets of books. There were the books, and there was the book. As far as the books are concerned, we're told that the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. When I was a lad living over in Britain, there used to be a television program called "This Is Your Life." And they would take an individual who had done some great thing for humanity in some way or another. And they would invite him along to a theater. He didn't know why he was going. He was just one of the many people that had been invited. And then the program would begin. And someone would tell out this man's life, different things that he had done. And when they had finished the tale, they would call out his name, and they would say, "This is your life." Well, to some degree, that illustrates for us what God is going to do. But unfortunately for the poor sinner, God isn't going to record all the good things they had done. In those books is the record of their life, of every opportunity that each individual has had of salvation, of every time they've heard the gospel, of every deed that they have performed, and the motive behind that deed. Every opportunity they have had of doing good, and they haven't done it. And every thought that has proceeded through their mind, everything is recorded in that book. Dear friend here tonight, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, and if through the whole of your lifetime, there never comes a time when you personally receive Christ as your Savior, one day you'll stand at that great white throne, and those books will be opened. And those books will contain the record of your life. And on the basis of what is written in those books, God will determine not whether or not you're guilty, but the measure of responsibility upon your shoulders for not having received Christ as your Savior. And then the book will be opened. And the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know what solemnizes my heart tonight? John was given there a prophetic view of what is going to take place at the end of time. And if I had been standing in John's shoes, and I had seen what John saw, I wonder, dear friend here tonight, could it possibly be, that there are some in this room tonight, and if I were given the vision that John was given, could it be that I would be looking into your faces, condemned souls, standing before the bar of God, with no more opportunity of salvation, to be cast out from the presence of God into that awful place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if in John chapter 3 and verse 18, we have guilt established, in Revelation and chapter 20, we have sentence cast. You know, if you find yourself standing there, it will be too late then to decide to trust Christ. All opportunity will be forever gone, and you will mourn the times that you could have been saved. But perhaps you just put it off for another day. Dear friend here tonight, this may be the very last time you'll ever hear the call. You have no guarantee of your next breath. Daniel, when he spoke to Belshazzar the king, described God to him in these terms. He said, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified?" And God holds your breath in his hands. And God could stop your breath at any moment of time. This could be the very last time you'll ever hear the gospel. You may never walk out of those doors alive. Now, I don't want to scare you into salvation, but I tell you what, if that's the only way you'll get saved, well, I'll try and scare you, all right. It's the most solemn event that we can possibly conceive. That last great assize, when millions upon millions of souls will stand in the presence of God without a ray of hope to hear those awful words, "Depart from me, cursed, I never knew you." There will be popes standing there. There will be cardinals standing there. There will be bishops standing there. There will be men with their clerical collars standing there. There will be men and women that carry the hymn book under their arm or the Bible to church. There will be men and women and young people who perhaps sat in the circle and broke bread. And they'll stand at that great white throne because there never ever was a time in their life when they received Christ. Listen, if you've never taken it serious up until this moment, we would exhort you from this moment of time, make it the most serious thing in your life. There is no more important thing for you than that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Condemned. But Paul doesn't leave it there. Paul says, condemned. But Paul says, no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. So if we have in the word condemnation, judgment impending, in the words no condemnation, we have judgment past. Or we might say, judgment transferred. Because what it's talking about is the fact that through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, God can now transfer the guilt of the sinner. No condemnation. Oh, what a wonderful moment that was in my life when God could say to me, no condemnation. It wasn't because of anything good I had done. I hadn't crawled round the earth on my knees. I hadn't spent all night in prayer. I just got down on my knees. And with a rifle slung across my shoulder and a live round up the bore, I recognized that when Christ died on the cross, He was dying for me. That He bore my sin in His own body on the tree. And the moment I trusted Him, the transaction had taken place and God could write across me, no condemnation. You see, the fact of the matter is this. The condemnation that was mine was borne by Him when He hung on Calvary's cross. Oh, how wonderful it is to be able to look up at that center cross and see again that face that was so marred more than any man's, and that form more than the sons of men, and to recall again that cry of the Lord Jesus in the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And to be able to say, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. No condemnation. You see, when Christ died on the cross, He bore my condemnation. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we're not preaching just a Christ who died, but a Christ who's alive. And who's living in the power of an endless life. Seated on the very throne of God, if I could go to heaven tonight, there's someone on heaven's throne, and I could actually touch him. A tangible man, a real man, on the throne of heaven, and in his hands and in his feet are the marks of redemption. He died on the cross for my salvation.
He lives to save. Dear friends here tonight, I want you to know, when Christ died on the cross, He didn't just die for me. He died for you. Are you looking at me? I want you to know, each one of you, He died for you. You know, there are some of you here tonight, and I'd like to call out your names, but I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to know, He died for you. He died because He loved you. And He died because He longs to save you. Christ died for the ungodly.
Thirdly, we have not only condemnation, and no condemnation, but we have now no condemnation. Now, not in the future, but now no condemnation, no judgment now. And the true believer rejoices in the fact that right now they possess everlasting life. Paul could say of God, who hath saved us. Paul had no doubt about his salvation. He knew where he was going, and he knew that there was absolutely nothing in this life that could alter where he was going. He had presently God's salvation. John chapter 5 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath," that's present tense, "everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment," there's our word again, "but is passed presently from death unto life." And you know, if you took Christ as your Savior tonight, it's not just that at some future date, if you continue to live a good life, God will pardon you. You can know present pardon. You can possess here and now everlasting life simply by believing on the Son of God, receiving Him by faith as your Savior. Now, no condemnation. Present assurance. I love the old hymn. Mother Theodore quoted it earlier. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising the Savior all the day long. You know, there are quite a number of people in this auditorium, and they know right now they possess everlasting life. That can be yours if you'll receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Okay. Is that for everybody? Does that mean when it says, now no condemnation, but there's no condemnation for anyone now? Well, of course it couldn't. Otherwise, the Word of God would contradict itself. Because the Savior said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No, if you have never received Christ as your Savior, you're condemned right now. And this isn't for you until you change sides, until you prepare to acknowledge that you're a sinner, but that Christ died for you, and really by faith believe that Christ died for you and rose again. If you'll believe that, this will be for you. I want you to notice, it goes on and says, Now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice the term Christ. That means the Messiah. And what it tells me is that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That means that Jesus is the one who was foretold from the moment that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden as being the deliverer from sin. When we look back into our Old Testament scriptures at those beautiful illustrations such as the Passover and so on that speak to us of a Redeemer that was going to come. And the whole of the Old Testament points forward in time. And what it's saying is, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. There is coming a Redeemer. God is going to send a Savior, the Christ. But our verse says that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus, you see, is His human name. And if the Messiah reminds me of the fact that He was foretold in the Old Testament, Jesus tells me that He came in time. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Remember what the angel said? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. So the name Jesus reminds me of His coming into manhood, when the eternal God that filled all heavens became a real, tangible human being and went all the way to Calvary's cross. And there upon the cross, He became the Savior. No, He wasn't the Savior when He was in the manger. By that I mean, there was no salvation in a babe in a manger. Even Christ could never have been the Savior if He hadn't gone to the cross. The cross was a necessity, you see, in God's eternal plan. There was no alternative to the cross. The Lord Jesus Himself said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There was no alternative to it. It wasn't an alternative way. It was a necessity. Well, why was it a necessity? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's why it was a necessity. Because there could have been no salvation apart from the cross. Because there on the cross, Christ absorbed the wrath of God on account of human sin. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, the Bible says. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, He the just one, for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's why there can be no condemnation. That's why you can be forgiven your sins. Because when Christ died on the cross, He was paying the penalty of human guilt. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. And that doesn't just apply to Christians. That was the gospel that Paul had initially preached to the Corinthians when they were still in their sins. He's reminding them of the gospel that he brought to them in those early days. He said, I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. And he rose again triumphantly from among the dead. But tell me, how can that become mine? Is that the question of your heart tonight? Is there some young person here tonight, and you're asking that question, how can I make him mine? How can the transaction take place? Well, the answer is in a very little word. In Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. How do I get in Christ Jesus? Very simply. John chapter 3 and verse 18 not only says, he that believeth not is condemned already, but the very same verse says, he that believeth is not condemned. And that's the answer. It's a personal realization of one's sinnership. And a personal realization that when Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, it was my sins, as it were, that nailed him there. You know, John Bunyan put it this way. If you read the book, you'll recall he had that great load on his back. And those words reverberated through his mind, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, until he came to the cross. And he looked up at the cross, and he saw one hanging there for him. And as he looked there on the cross, and heard those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said that load fell off his back, and down the hill, and into the empty sepulchre. And he said, I saw them no more. And he said, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, yea, blessed rather be the man that was put to shame for me. That's how it can become yours, dear friend, here tonight. You don't even have to wait till the end of the meeting. You don't have to speak to the preacher, either one of us. But just where you sit, you don't even have to close your eyes. You don't even have to move your lips. But just in your heart, acknowledge that Christ died for you. And trust him. And the moment you do so, you'll have everlasting life. There is therefore, now, no judgment to them